When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Believe in Celtics. I'm Warren Shaw, and he is the great Gary Washburn, and we're your hosts and resources for everything Boston Celtics this season and all seasons. Gary, off of another road trip, you're back home. How are you feeling, brother?
Oh, good, yeah. Kind of a, you know, one of those weird trips where, you know, a couple of back-to-backs and kind of flying all over the West Coast with Denver, and then Phoenix, and then Portland, and then Salt Lake. But you know, Celtics got the job done after that Denver game and was able to win the last three, which I was impressed with, the way they were able to not only beat Portland, which was kind of expected, but to come back on a back-to-back, go to Salt Lake in the altitude and to play a good ball game there and lead most of the way and then pull away at the end. So, yeah, successful trip for the Celtics as they kind of close in on that number one seed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think very well said. And we'll always talk a little bit more about that road trip where they finished 3-2. Some interesting stuff going. Don't want to go too far back because, you know, some of that news is outdated here, especially that game against Cleveland. But as always, we have a lot to get to. So we got to do our plugs. Make sure you give our show a 5-star rating on whatever your podcast platform may be. Make sure you follow Gary at G Washburn Globe on X. Follow me at Shaw Sports NBA. Follow Believe and at Believe Network and at Believe Sports. So you just kind of led into it, and it was really interesting. You know, we didn't get a chance to have a pre-pod meeting, but there's some conversation that we're going to get into for a recent story that you're writing as well. But before we get to that, as you just kind of touched on, 3-2 on that road trip, I thought they looked pretty good in general, especially coming off. You know, the Denver loss was something that I think a lot of people were trying to make a lot out of it, especially since it was a second straight loss and another loss to Denver as well, two in a potential finals, you know, matchup, if you will. But coming off the heels of that Cleveland game, it seemed like for those couple of days before they played against Phoenix, like the sky was falling, you know, in Boston. So Boston Celtics fans started to lose their proverbial minds here again. So talk to me a little bit about the poise you thought they showed going into Phoenix and then ultimately finishing off the trip in Portland and Salt Lake City, as you alluded to.
Yeah, I thought it was a good trip in terms of, I mean, you could either collapse or just kind of slip after that Denver game, you know, get into your head, get upset about, you know, it's a lack of execution down the stretch, how great Jokic was, some of the plays that maybe made the difference, you know, if Tatum hits an open three, you know, if Holiday doesn't kind of bobble that pass from Jason on the fast break, just little things that separated them from really, really having a chance to win and pull that game out. So if you let that get in your head, then you turn around and you lose to Phoenix and suddenly you're a three-game losing streak with a really critical game at Portland coming up, but they were able to take care of business against the Suns. The Suns were shorthanded. They will not be shorthanded when they come to the Garden on Thursday when they get Devin Booker. He played the other night against Cleveland, but he was kind of in the last part of his rehab from that sprained ankle, so he did not play. But I thought they handled Phoenix pretty well. A game they probably could have won by 15 to 20, but just Kevin Durant was awesome, and they had some. They weren't as fluid the second half offensively. I thought so. They were, but they did close out that game, and then to beat Portland and Utah. You know, I mean, Portland's a team that's, you know, they've got 18 wins, but they got a lot of young guys. You know, you're looking at Simons and Grant, and you know, Ayton played that game. I thought Ayton was actually pretty good.
Played
that
well,
game.
Yeah.
And a lot of the younger guys that they can go, they can jump up and bite you. Although, you know, the Blazers got a myriad of injuries and they're just kind of playing for next season. And then to get Utah in the back-to-back, I said I thought it was an impressive trip to win the final three games. Take care of business. You know, last year they lost in Utah. It was kind of the same kind of game where they were like the Celtics had like a 10-12-point lead, you know, on the verge of kind of breaking it open. Then Utah kind of closed out in the third quarter. Then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, you know, I think, you know, Taylor Horton Tucker, Chris Dunn made a bunch of plays. Walker Kessler made some key rebounds and block shots, and suddenly they lost that game. This time, not to say that 20-0 run, just taking teams out. Like, hey, put them out their misery. It's at the point now, Warren, where teams are now, you know, they're playing for next year. Like, they're not gonna play as full of a game as they would have in January or December. They're on the towel if they're down 15 or 20 points. These teams are playing young guys, are playing two-way players. I mean, Utah had just signed Kenny Lofton Jr. and Darius Baisley to their, and they were on the active roster for that game. So you're going to have a bunch of, you know, different guys that you're playing against, especially when you got Detroit coming up and Washington and a couple of, you know, against Atlanta and a couple against Charlotte. You're going to be playing against a ragtag group of players. So it was good for the Celtics to take them seriously, close it out, get home, and now get ready for a big game against Phoenix Suns.
Last thing before we close it out here, I think I was reading something before we went to air, and the play of the bench specifically on the road, or even maybe some of the role guys. Your thoughts a little bit on Peyton Pritchard? I know he got the start in Portland as well. Hauser played well in that game. I mean, again, well, I understand, yes, it's Portland, but I think in general, maybe to a little some semblance of a degree, the bench is maybe coming into form, maybe a little bit better. What are your thoughts on that, you know, kind of in general?
Yeah, I think the bench has really developed, and I think Peyton Pritchard had a pretty good year overall. You know, he started out slow. I'm not going to say he had a great first maybe 10, 15 games, but he has really gotten back on track and really been an asset, not only shooting the three, but attacking the rim, getting to the rim, getting those crafty little layups he gets. I think Hauser has had his ups and downs, sometimes shooting the ball, but has shot well of late. Now, I've really been impressed with Luke Kornet. His minutes, maybe that was the presence of Xavier Tillman. When they go out and get a guy who plays your position, you know, I mean, I think you're prone to step up a little bit. And I think Kornet has started to play, and I'm not being funny, he started to play like a seven-footer, you know, blocking shots, battling for rebounds, getting offensive boards, be a big man presence out there. I think Kornet was a little too finesse before, a little too kind of not wanting, like, no, throw your body around, get a couple of fouls, like,
you know, and what you need for the playoffs.
Yeah, lay some wood on some guys, you know, yep. Like, you know, I don't think that's really in Kornet's nature, and there's nothing wrong with him with that, and not any criticism. I just think he's kind of been more of a finesse center throughout his career. I think he was kind of a stretch five when he was at Vanderbilt, and he's kind of been a guy who can shoot some threes and kind of blended his game, but I think they need a guy in the paint to do some dirty work. And I think that's why they got Xavier Tillman. And I think they even, you know, Mazzulla even played Tillman and Kornet together for the first time last night. I think they were +8 in their 8 minutes together. So that was an interesting pairing, but I think the bench has really responded of late. You've been getting good stretches from a guy like O'Shea Brissett. And I thought
good call.
He might've been the most disappointing acquisition in the offseason, considering I thought he was going to take that Grant Williams role and really play, maybe carve out 15, 18 minutes a game or something like that. And he's had a lot of DNPs and kind of spot minutes. But if he can get going and he can, you know, and not even hit the three, I think hit free throws, because he's going to be in the thing about O'Shea, he's going to be in the mix of stuff. He's going to get fouled. He's going to be getting some putbacks or at the rim trying, you know, he needs to hit his free throws. He's been kind of shaky this year from the free throw line. If he can do that, I think the bench is okay. You know, could they use another player? Of course, I think a lot of teams could use another big-time bench scorer or rebounder, an Andre Drummond. But that's not going to happen. These guys are all taken. The buyout market is pretty much over. If a guy's bought out, he's not eligible for a playoff roster. So you're looking at to fill that roster spot, either converting Nemias Kata's contract to a full-time contract, standard NBA contract, which would be great, but do you need Kata now with Tillman and Cornette right. and Horford and then backing up Porzingis? Do you need a fifth big? And there's no swing men out there. I mean, you could pull a guy who's playing probably well in the G League, but, you know, there's a reason he's in the G League. No, you know, no offense to the G League, but it's like pulling a guy from a AAA team and saying, okay, play center field for us and go get two hits. Like, it could happen, but that's asking a lot. So I think the bench has done well. You know, you hope they keep it up, and I think they're getting the confidence, and Joe is giving them the platform for which to play for so they can play better, and they can go out there and make some mistakes and still stay in the game.
Yeah, and I think that's going to lead us into the second part of our conversation here is, you know, a little bit here with the final games here, 17 games remaining. But before we get to that, I think even filling in for some guys, any news here on the status of Porzingis and Jaylen Brown? I know Porzingis been kind of dealing with the hamstring thing here again. Just kind of any news you can share with Celtics fans on what's going on with those two key guys for the team?
Yeah. Brown suddenly came out with a hip injury after missing the Jazz game with the little back strain, a little lower back thing he's got going. So I thought that was a little bit curious. You know, we'll see how that goes. I think, you know, he's questionable, so he could still play against the Suns. And they do need him in that game with a fully healthy Phoenix Big Three that's going to be going in that game. And especially got 2 days off. So Porzingis, I saw him running a shoot around on Monday, running sprints. So I don't think it's one of those things where he's not walking or he's walking with a limp or he's got a huge pad, you know, ice pack on his hamstring. I think they're just trying to be careful with him. I think we all know that Chris Stapps is a 60 game a year guy, max. You know, he played 65 last year in Washington. They don't want to stretch him any more than they need to. They want him to be healthy and be able to play in every playoff game. That's important. You don't want to, you know, you don't have a back-to-back in the playoffs. So you want Horford, you want Porzingis, you want guys with either you're trying to reserve their time because of age or injury. You want them to be able to be available for every playoff game. And if you want Kristaps out there for 35 minutes, that's what you want him to do. So I think they're just trying to be really careful with him. Get him a rest. If he plays 55, 57 regular season games, which I probably project, maybe he might get to 60. There's 17 games left. He's played in 48, I want to say. Could he play 12 more games? Yeah, get to 60, and then you get ready for the playoffs. So I don't think his injury is serious at all. I think the team is just being very, very careful with him.
Well, speaking of being very careful, again, you just touched on it here again with the 17 games remaining. So 10 of those games are at home, 7 of those obviously away, 7 games against teams over 500. The Suns, as we're recording, so this may came out the day on game day itself, but 2 versus the Bucks, Pelicans, OKC, Sacramento, and the Knicks, and who should be healthy by that time when they play them, but also then what will Boston be playing for at that stage of the season. So as we were coming to air, you indicated that you were writing an article a little bit about what Boston should do. And I think it's a great time to kind of talk about that to some degree, especially when you talk about the bench, right? So Porzingis is a guy who's going to need to rest. We know Al is a guy who's going to need to rest. It almost seems like Brad was maybe even prepping for that, you know, but with the acquisition of Tillman and saying, all right, well, let's kind of finish out the season with some of these capable players. but we can rest some of our main guys if we have a large enough lead here in the Eastern Conference. You know, they're what, eight games up right now or so. Nine games up on Milwaukee, and
yeah,
you know,
nine and a half. Right their magic there. Yeah, their magic number is eight. So if you know, they should be able to pretty much clinch that over the next week or two. I mean, I don't think Milwaukee's going to go undefeated. And I think, and obviously, every time the Celtics win, then Milwaukee loses, that's a game. So they should be able to clinch that.
So the strategy that you think Joe Mazzulla and company should employ here, is it just kind of like every other night off, you know, for some guys, like you rest the starter each night, you know, for the rest of the season? You just kind of walk us through the impetus of the article for us.
Yeah, I think you just probably stagger at this point. You know, you want to play your guys, you know, you want to play your guys in the first game against Milwaukee at home next Wednesday in Boston. I don't know what you'll do in that game in April, deep into April. Do you show them anything? Who's going to be on the court? You know, will Milwaukee be fighting for that second seed with Cleveland or the Knicks? Or, you know, because now you're talking about, you're just watching the rest of the East, you know, pelt each other for those seedings, you know, Miami's and the Philadelphia's, or, you know, trying to avoid the play-in, and New York trying to maybe sneak up on Cleveland. Cleveland trying to sneak up on Milwaukee. Where's Indiana? What are they going to do? You know, so there's a lot of questions in the East, and I think the Celtics will watch those guys all duke it out for those seedings. But I think you stagger the playing time, you give guys rest, and you also look at different lineups. You give maybe Xavier Tillman a start. You give Cornette a start. You give Horford a little break here and there. You give Jason a break. Jason played in 62 of the 65 games. Obviously, he wants to be eligible for the award, so he's going to get to, you know, all your guys, your Holidays and your Whites. Whites played 61 games. Holiday and Brown are playing 59. Jason 62. So all your starters are going to get to those 60, except Porzingis is going to get to your 65 game mark to be able to get to be eligible for awards. So that's, I'm sure that's important to them, but you do stagger it. Jason's been grinding. He played the entire second half against Phoenix. He played against Portland, and he came back and he didn't play against Utah. So, you know, you want him to get a break. You want to get, I think Jalen's kind of getting a break with this back issue. Derek's kind of been an Iron Man. I think he missed a couple of games with the birth of his child, but he's, other than that, he's been in the lineup. And Drew's had kind of a elbow thing, I think, going on. But I think you want to get, and then also, you know, Drew's 33 now, so it's, he's not young like anymore. So you want to give those guys proper rest. I was thinking about it, Warren. I think like the thing 2 years ago was when they started out 18-21 under Ime, and they finished, I think, 33-21 or something like that, 33-10 or something like that. They had to exert so much energy in that run, right? They had to get that number two seed because they had such a poor start, yeah. Right? They ended up going 51-31, and which was great, but those guys were kind of worn out by the finals. Not all of them, you know. But a lot, I think, fatigue did set in, and obviously most of it was the Warriors. But I do think fatigue set in when you play a seven-game series against Miami, you play a seven-game series against Milwaukee. You know, so they were tired. And I just think now the Celtics look and go, listen, we're not going to blame fatigue for anything in this run. We're going to make sure guys are well-rested, even if, you know, I'm sure with 17 games left, they, you know, they'd love to give us 65 wins or one of those great marks that marks a really, really great team. But I think they'll take 60 plus. And if it's 61 instead of 65, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it even goes back to, you know, what you said now, especially with the aspect of some trying some different lineups, but building the proverbial confidence now for these players who may get opportunities for whatever reason, like, hey, you need to throw a wrench into something, you know, into another opponent's game plan. Oh, well, let's see if Tillman here can come in here and give us a spark. I guess a guy like Jaden Springer doesn't really trend for that currently right now. But I think especially with the play of Brissett more recently, now you're starting to see the guy that the Celtics honestly hoped they had gotten, you know, from the beginning of the season. You know, is there a guy specifically who, you know, that we maybe haven't mentioned or just you want to see continued growth from on that bench in these final 17 games? Like, you know what? Hey, maybe he sneaks into now that ninth spot in the rotation, because you typically only play eight if you bowl in the playoffs. But does that, you get a ninth or 10th guy that maybe can sneak in here and be that spark if something is kind of going awry for Boston?
Yeah, I just think Brissett's the guy that you really want to see what he can do. Give him some real run. He's averaging, you know, he's missed 20. He's, you know, I think 23. I don't know if he's had an injury here or there, maybe, but I think maybe one or two games missed with an injury, but he's had 20 plus DNPs. He's played 42 games, average 11 minutes a game, you know, 3.6 points, 2.9 rebounds. So he's moderately productive when he's on the floor, right? He's not a guy, you know, 27% from three. I think they were hoping it would be a little bit better than that. And as I mentioned before, 62.7% from the free throw line. He's got to start knocking down those free throws. I'd like to see him get more playing time. And then, if you want to give a guy like Jaden Springer, you know, a run, a good run there, give him some extended minutes, give him a start or something like that. You know, I think that's fair too. You can figure out what you've got in him. And Shree's been a guy that hasn't been around. I think he has a personal stuff going on. He hasn't really contributed 27 games this year. 7 minutes a game. He's had, you know, he's just been a real bench guy. You know, I think it's about time to play him and see what he can do. If he can give you a little 2, 3, 4, 5 minute stretch in the playoffs, how is this going to go down in the playoffs? Now, most of the time, Warren, those guys are going to sit. Guys are going to, you know, Jason and Jalen's are going to play 38 and 39 minutes in these games. If they're competitive, if they're not and they're pulling away, you'd like to see 28 to 29. And, you know, but see what you have in Sfee. See what you have, and can you trust those guys in a pinch? If you need a shooter on the floor in a situation like Sfee, or if you want a guy, a defensive guy, a rebounder, a guy who can, you know, get you a key offensive board in a guy like O'Shea. So I think there's stuff to work out. I think Jaden Springer might be a little bit behind in that sense. He just got here. He's kind of he's only 21, a developmental guy. So if you're going to, you know, if you're seeing him and Jordan Walsh and J.D. Davidson on the floor, then it's probably a blowout game. I don't think that those guys, they have any real direct plans for those guys in the playoffs.
You know, Gary, you know, it's really interesting, I think, for where they're at, right? So it's nice to have this luxury and kind of like, all right, you know, how are we going to develop some of our guys in the latter part of the season as you're not trying to coast, but you still got to remain sharp. And I think that's a delicate balance for a young coach, even in Missoula as well, too. You got to keep these guys healthy, but you don't want them to get rusty. So I think, you know, what you're alluding to, and they've been doing this kind of throughout, like they really have, you know, guys have been kind of alternating, you know, with their rest, so to speak. But I think it's going to be very important for, I think, that core four, if you will, to play the 65 games and be eligible for all defensive team and all NBA and things like that, I think, you know, pushing forward. Final thoughts before we close out here, and just kind of any games in this stretch here that you're looking towards that, you know, is like, hey, maybe the Celtics want to prove something here. I guess you mentioned the Phoenix game coming up here as we're recording here tomorrow, and maybe again against Milwaukee. But, you know, the rest of those teams, OKC did beat them. They do have a pretty bad record against the top teams in the Western Conference, so they'll get OKC at home. Is there anything that you're looking here in the final 17? It's like, all right, well, Boston, you know, should kind of go as hard as they possibly can to get that dub against maybe some of the upper echelon talent. Because one of the things we have to discuss is like, oh, when's the schedule going to kind of tone down for them? When's it getting easier? Now we're here. We're here. Yeah. So what are you looking for here? I mean, in terms of the signature games for Boston, you know, against some of the seven teams that are above 500.
Yeah, I think one of those, the first Milwaukee, I said that next one is like in deep into April. I can't say who's going to be out there on the floor for the Celtics, and why would the world, if you've got the East clinch, would you show Milwaukee anything of consequence in that rematch in April? And who knows, Milwaukee might be fighting for the seeding, so it might be really critical to them. We'll see how that goes. I think the first Milwaukee game, however, I also think that home game against Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City got them back in Oklahoma in early January. I think the Celtics would like to win that game. Sacramento coming in a couple of days later. And then that Knicks game, we'll see who's on the floor for that one. But I think those games against Milwaukee, Oklahoma City, and Sacramento are three games that they want to lock in and focus on. And the rest, I think they'll be professional. They'll go about their job and they'll get it done. Those two games against Atlanta, that's a potential another playoff preview in terms of the 1-8 matchup. Two against Charlotte. You know, we'll see how those go and who plays in those games. And two against Detroit in about a week span. So, like you said, they got some games that they should win without much question. But I also think what you want to do is you want to lock in on playing the right way. Don't let go of the rope. Don't lose any of these games. I'm not talking about go 17-0, but just play hard and don't get bitten because of the laziness. We saw what happened against Cleveland where you just kind of put the, how do I put this? You thought you put the game to bed and that baby wasn't ready to go to sleep and got up and bit you and you thought, there's no way they'll come back without three stars from 22 points down. They did. And you let a guy get hot who, a lot of people have never heard of besides knowing that he's got the initials of Dwayne Wade. So if you're the Celtics, I think you need to focus on that, not letting go of the rope against the lesser teams, playing your best ball against some of these good teams. And then in the last week, anything goes. You're going to have some wacky starting lineups. You're going to have some wacky rotations. Joe's going to be experimenting, trying to see how it goes. And also keeping you guys healthy, but also keeping them sharp for the playoffs. So they don't look at each other like, man, we haven't played together in 2 weeks, when they get to that game one of the opening series.
Yeah. Well, so I think a great place for us to stop there, Gary. So as always, we thank you all for tuning in to this week's edition of Believe in Celtics. Make sure you follow Gary at G Washburn Globe and make sure you catch his writing and his newest article coming out here at the Boston Globe as well. You can follow me at Shaw Sports NBA and as always, follow Believe. We'll catch y'all next week sometime. That'll do it here for this week's edition of Believe in Celtics, y'all. Peace out.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store or online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.